Good morning. It's 10th of April. Our first reading today is Numbers 28. I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Tennant once again. The section I've chosen runs into chapters beyond Numbers 28. I read. In a ceremony before all the congregation, Moses laid his hands upon Joshua, conferring honour and blessing on him, giving him a charge before God, to keep his word and to be strong. Joshua was thus equipped. The Spirit of the Lord had been upon him from the days when the Spirit was poured out upon the elders. He was now the successor to the greatest leader Israel ever had until the days of Jesus, the Son of God. There were one or two other matters which Moses had to attend to. At the command of God, he reminded Israel of her obligations concerning the daily burnt offering, the special offerings of the Sabbath, the new moon, the Passover, and the day of first fruits. Special emphasis was laid upon the perfect month, the seventh, which, from the first appearing of the new moon, through the solemnities of the Day of Atonement, to the Feast of Tabernacles, spoke of the grace of God. One by one, Moses renewed these joyous obligations and reminded Israel of her vows. On account of the evil which the Midianites had occasioned to Israel, the Lord commanded war against them. It was to be a symbolic battle as well as a real one. Only 12,000 men were called up from the camp of Israel, 1,000 from a tribe, with Phinehas sounding a silver trumpet. The outcome of the battle was never in doubt. The Midianites were defeated, the Lord was avenged, and a great spoil was returned to the camp, and among it Midianitish women as captives. Moses was angry and feared lest the havoc brought about by their earlier contact with Midian should be repeated. Therefore, on return from this battle, everything was cleansed, and only the maidens of Midian were allowed to live. When the count of the soldiers was taken, it was discovered that not one man of them had died, and they brought their offerings of thankfulness to the Lord. This was to be a pattern of their campaigns when they entered the land. Such things as were commanded to be destroyed must be destroyed, not for wantonness or barbarity, but because the nations being removed had offended against God by their wickedness and idolatry, and the uncleanness must not be allowed to touch the people of God. The command of Moses was clear. Thus Moses prepared the people for his departure and for theirs. The borders of the land were defined. The princes to supervise the division of the land were selected. The cities of the Levites were explained, and the 6 cities of refuge appointed. Nothing was left to chance. There was to be order and reason underlying their establishment in the Holy Land. The order was to be God's pattern, and the reasons had their roots in the worship which was to beat at the heart of the new kingdom with the God of heaven as its king. The days of wandering were drawing to a close. They were days on which they would look back with deep feeling. When they entered the land, the nation would never again, not even in its set feasts, experience the same sense of existing from day to day, dependent upon God's good gifts. Their later settled existence would take from them the awareness of being pilgrims, travellers together with God. We ourselves would do well to retain the spirit of sojourners like the fathers, rather than to regard our lives as settled. If we are not journeying in spirit, then we have lost the onwards, upwards call of the Lord Jesus Christ. His life was a road, a forging toward the accomplishment of his task. From Galilee to Calvary was the steadfast mission of his life. From Calvary to heaven, its wonderful accomplishment. Thank you for listening.